Thank you, Greens. Enjoyed that, didn't you? Boy, I tell you, if we would Now, I understand nothing takes the place of preaching, but boy, I tell you, there's a lot of truth in song. And if we'll listen carefully, boy, we might pick up a truth in song when we didn't pick it up anywhere else. And folks, listen, God speaks in various ways. He is, many times you've had people say, boy, that song really spoke to me. You know what was speaking to you? The Holy Ghost of God was speaking to you through that song. And so I appreciate all of our special musicians. I appreciate and thank all of the ladies who play the instruments. And our choir had thoroughly enjoyed the music tonight. Thank you, Brother Reed, and for the preparation, and choir members for preparing for this evening. If you'll find your Bible, John chapter 8. I want to preach to you tonight. On a subject that the word's only mentioned one time in the Bible. But you'll find it in John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1. John chapter 8, and in verse number 1. I want to speak to you tonight, church, on the simple subject of conviction. Conviction, what is it? Why? Why does God do this? What's the purpose of it? How do we respond to it? I hope that you'll learn something tonight through the message that will help you, take it home with you, think through this, and because this is a way that God uses to speak to the hearts of believers. And with that said, take your Bible, find your place, John chapter 8. Let's stand together. John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I like that. He just ignored them. You know, there's a lot of things we probably need to ignore. And he just ignored them in verse number 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it. Now I want you to notice verse number 9. And they which heard it, being convicted. I want you to circle that because that's the only time you'll see it in the Bible right there. Being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where art those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? What I want to examine tonight is verse number 9. And I want you to look, if you would, there at two words that are going to be kind of the basis of what I want to preach about tonight. He says they were convicted by their conscience. They were convicted by their conscience. These are the two elements that are going to be involved in our subject tonight that I want to talk to you about, this area of conviction. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful to be in the house of God tonight. I want to especially thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in a free country where we can come and open the doors of the church and not be threatened about preaching truth and opening our Bibles and worshiping the living God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Spirit of God, would you move in this service? Do as you so desire, and we'll give you the glory for what you should do in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, there are two elements involved in the subject I want to preach about tonight. The first element is that of a man's conscience. And the second element is that of the voice of God speaking through the Holy Ghost of God. And what the Scripture says is conviction. Now, the amazing thing about this story is that the people who brought her to the Lord were probably a bunch of religious fanatics. Now, they had a lot of religion, but didn't have the Lord. And notice what he says about them when they cast her down, and you can speculate what he wrote on the ground with his finger. But I like it because when they brought the woman to him, he ignored them. He stooped down and wrote something in the ground, and did you notice the Bible says they just kept after him? Hey, did you see we're here? Did you hear what we told you? Just kept writing. Now you can speculate what he wrote on the ground. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is whatever it was, Jesus stood up then and says, if you're without sin, any of you, you cast the first stone. And the Bible says that these religious people who probably had a lot of religion, who may have even known the Bible, at least what the part that they had, they couldn't cast a stone. And Jesus said, hey, if you're without sin, cast the first stone. The Bible says that all of them were convicted by their conscience. Now, you know what that tells us? That tells us that even what I speculate here probably to be lost people, that even a lost person can get convicted. But you know what he was saying there? He wasn't just necessarily saying, hey, listen, you ought to be convicted about your condition because they probably weren't even believers. What he was saying there is they were convicted in their conscience because they were to look inwardly at their own inward condition, their lost situation. Don't be bringing somebody to me. Look in your own heart. If you're without sin, you cast the first stone. We find there that not a single one of them could answer that question. Why? Because they were all full of sin. Just like you and I. Jesus was trying to call their attention to their need of the Savior. That's what he was doing. And the Holy Ghost just happened to use that word convicted. Only used it one time. He used it right there. But then when he used that word convicted, he intertwined that word with conscience. He says they were convicted in their conscience. Now, a conscience is that moral sense that God gives all of us or a person as part of our original faculty. And what we do with our conscience, it's kind of that thing, that principle, our conscience is kind of the thing that determines through principle lawfulness or unlawfulness, good or bad. And then not only does it determine that, but it also determines our actions and our effectiveness and our affections, and immediately either approves or condemns what we just thought or what we just did. That's a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. Now listen, people say a lot of times, it's that person, they don't even have a conscience. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. You know what? Because these lost people had a conscience. And I promise you, they never forgot that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me throw out a couple of scriptures here to you. Turn with me if you would. Let's start in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 19. Now, you're going to need your Bible tonight. We're going to turn to several passages of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 19. 1 Timothy 1, verse number 19. The Scripture says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You know what he's saying here? People who ignore that still small voice that communicates through their conscience, when they ignore that, you are on your way to shipwreck in your life. That's the way God has chosen to communicate with you and with me. And that's the way he convicts, through the conscience. Take your Bible, if you would, Hebrews 9. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 9. Hebrews 9, verse 9. It says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. You know what conscience does? Conscience reveals truth. And when truth comes in, you are so wired that God speaks to us. Listen, you say, man, I almost heard a voice in my ear while the preacher was preaching. You did! It was a small voice, the still small voice of God speaking through your conscience. trying to tell you, you better listen to what that preacher's saying, because that's exactly where you're headed. That's exactly the road you're on. You better listen to what he says. Now look, if you would, go down to verse number 14, same chapter. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So my point tonight, church, is this, is that conviction works through the conscience of human beings. God speaks through your conscience, and you know who does the speaking? The Holy Ghost of God that lives in you does the speaking. And the conscience, by the way, we're so wired, it's so directly wired to our mind and our heart that we can feel the effects of our conscience at work immediately. That's the reason you feel immediate conviction when we do wrong. That's the reason you say, man, I feel bad about doing that. You should feel bad. That's your conscience convicting you immediately. That's how we're wired up. The second word I want to look at out of John chapter 8, verse number 9, it's not just the word conscience, but the word convicted or the word conviction. Now, that's the process that God uses through our conscience to admit the truth, for us to admit our truth or the truth of error, or in some cases, the will of God. You see, not only does He reveal our wrongdoings and wrongdoings, sometimes He reveals His will through your conscience. Now, conviction and conviction of sin is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And by the way, when you stop hearing that still small voice, you better fall on your knees and beg God to start hearing it again. But conviction of sin is not a bad thing. It's God's way of speaking to you in order to draw your attention to an area of our lives that needs to be corrected in order to come in line with His will for your life and for my life. By the way, God loves you and wants you to do right. Listen, as a boy, I remember a number of times that my dad, I would do something wrong, and my dad would sit me down and tell me what I did wrong. Then he would say, now you did this wrong, and this is the way you should have done it. And then he would say, this is why it was wrong. So he would explain to me why it was wrong, what I did wrong, and how to correct it so I don't do it wrong again the next time. And he would tell me those things because he wanted me to do right. Now I want you to listen carefully. Conviction and your conscience is like your daddy sitting down having a father-to-son or father-to-daughter talk with you. And listen very carefully. Conviction is God's warning sign before He takes action. He's trying to let you know, my dad was trying to let me know, this is the what you did wrong, this is the way to do it, this is how you need to do it, and if you don't do it the way I tell you to, I'm going to take action. You know what he was doing? He was sending a warning signal to me. This is the way that it needs to be done. You didn't do it that way the first time. You need to do it the way that I tell you to this time. And again, conviction is God's way of parenting us as children of God. Just like my dad would sit down and show me these things, God's trying to sit down with you and explain to you what you did wrong, why it's wrong, and what the right way to do it, and we better listen! Because if not, He's going to take action. And that's what conviction is. He's trying to let you and I know the error of our way. Now, with that said, let me talk to you tonight, give you a couple of things I hear that I think will be beneficial. You know, we get that word conviction. It's kind of a law term. You go to a court of law, guy's there, woman's there, the case comes in, the jury says, hey, listen, they're guilty, and they pronounce they're convicted or conviction. It's a law term, basically, which is basically saying that you're guilty. That's what being convicted is. And so that's where we get our word conviction from. But the first thing I want to cover with you tonight, church, is what God convicts our heart about. What does He convict our conscience about? Well, first of all, I think it's pretty evident, He convicts our conscience of sin. Now, do you know that it's amazing how sometimes the Holy Spirit will convict my conscience of sin about something I didn't think was sin. I didn't think that what I did was necessarily wrong. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, it was. And I say, well, I did it like this. He said, yeah, but you did it with a stinking spirit. You did it with a wrong attitude and with a wrong spirit. And the problem is, I didn't think it was wrong, and the Holy Ghost of God told me, yes, it was wrong, because you did it with the wrong attitude. You did it with the wrong spirit. You ever been asleep at night, and you know something that transpired that day, and you've been asleep at night, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden your eyes pop open, and you think, oh my goodness, I never thought of it like that. I mean, just out of the clear blue. You know what that is? That's called conviction. That's called the Spirit of God speaking to your conscience. And you know what? You're so wired up that your conscience immediately woke you up. Because you know what? Immediate action. Immediate action. Now, so He convicts us of sin in our personal life. Number two, God convicts our conscience and our heart of an area of weakness in our life that we need to strengthen. For instance, the preacher stands up, he preaches. He preaches on a subject that I'm thinking, hey, I feel okay about that. You know, hey, I'm winning souls. I had somebody saved. Yeah, but did you do your best? Are you a consistent witness? You see, the Holy Ghost of God not only convicts me of sin, but He convicts me of weaknesses in my Christian life that I need to strengthen. That's the reason, you know what? You come to church, you can get something out of every message. You go to Sunday school, you can get something out of every lesson. Because I promise you, the Holy Ghost of God, He ain't stopped teaching, because that's one of the things that He does. He's constantly teaching. You know what the problem is? The problem is our spirit. It's the spirit in which we receive it. So, He convicts us not only of sin in our personal life, but He convicts us of weaknesses in our life that we need to strengthen. And then number three, He convicts us of the will of God for our life. The will of God for our life. Now folks, listen. I'm standing here. I know that God put me in the ministry. I don't have time to explain how it all happened. I'm just telling you, this old boy wasn't planning on going in the ministry. I had no idea what it was. I wasn't planning on it. Didn't have plans to go in it. And God said, yes, you are. By the way, Paul didn't have no plans going to ministry either. But God said, yes, you are. And all I'm saying to you tonight is, God's got a will and a plan for your life. And some of you are saying, no, you don't. And He says, yes, this is the will of God for your life. You say, no, it ain't. Now, you know what He's doing? He's trying to convict you. He's trying to work through your conscience for you to take action as a Heavenly Father so He don't have to take action. But if we keep ignoring it and keep ignoring it, He's going to have to take action. And just like my dad, hey, this is the way it's to be done. He showed me how it was done. He showed me why it was wrong. This is the way I want it done. And if I didn't do it like that, He's going to take action. You say, did your dad try to put conviction in you? Yeah, and boy, he did too. Because I promise you, when he took action, you never forgot it. He didn't go through no seminar on raising kids. But he understood how to get his point across. And listen, he wasn't saying that exactly in those words, but that's exactly what he was doing. I'm convicting you, boy. And you know what's going to happen? You do it this way, or Papa's going to take action. And it wasn't pretty either. And you know that some of us in this room tonight could avoid a lot of heartaches in our life if you'll just answer the conviction? Just when God speaks to your heart, just do it. Well, I don't understand. You know, folks, listen, I've been trying to understand God for 20-something years. I've been saved. And you know what? I gave up on it a long time ago because I can't figure God out. Hey, He operates in ways I don't understand. Why is He blessing these people that seem to be rotten to the core? I don't understand. Why, God, are You blessing them? Then here's no boy over here. And man, he's given his life to God, and he just seems to be, I don't understand that. But thank God, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. You see, sometimes he convicts of sin in our personal life. Sometimes he convicts us of weaknesses in our life. And then sometimes he convicts us of the will of God for our life. Congregation, this side, this size, there's probably a lot of us in this room tonight that God has convicted us about the will of God for our life and we're not doing it. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, that hinders the operation of the Holy Ghost, not only in your life, but in the church. It does. You go read Acts chapter 2. You know what was so great about that church? Because they were all of one accord. One heart, one soul, one mind, one purpose. They were all on the same page. And the Holy Ghost of God fell. People were getting saved. 3,000 in one sermon, 5,000 in another sermon. The Holy Ghost just said, listen, don't even worry about numbers. Multitudes were getting saved. And then he said, hey, then multiplied multitudes were getting saved. That church was busting at the seams. Man, can you imagine Peter? Two sermons, 8,000 saved? That's not bad. But you know what? There came a day in his life that he had to face conviction. Let me take you back to Luke chapter 22 for just a moment. If you'll remember, the Lord had already been arrested. And if you'll remember that there were several occasions, three to be exact, of people that confronted him about being with the Lord or follow the Lord, and he denied all three times. And then if you'll go check me out in Luke chapter 22, when he denied the cock crew. Now listen, that wasn't the worst part, because Jesus already told him that was going to happen. The worst part was when Jesus saw him and fixed his eyes on him. What do you think that did to him? You think that was conviction? Hey, he just got finished denying three times he even knew God. That he even knew the Lord. And yet Jesus fixed his eyes on him. And then you go read the end of that chapter, verse number 62. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. What did he go do that for? Because he's convicted. God contacted his conscience. And there, through his conscience, there was immediate action. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. When the preacher can preach and you don't have any feeling or any contact or even have any remote idea of a still small voice, you need to be concerned about yourself. Because when you don't hear that still small voice speaking in through your conscience and trying to convict you to do something for the Lord, you need to be concerned. God convicts our heart of sin, weaknesses, and the will of God for our life. Now, what is then, if that's what God does, how does he convict? We found out, hey, this is what he convicts about. How does he go about the business of convicting us? Well, first of all, the first way he convicts is through the Word of God. Whether it's read, whether it's preached, whether it's studied, he convicts through the Word of God. You know why? Because it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And by the way, you know where Hebrews 4:12 said that finds itself? It goes way down into the spirit of man where nobody else can find his way down in there. He says, you know what? The Word of God gets down to the core of the conscience of a man and convicts him of sin, of a weakness, or the will of God. You see, God convicts through the Word of God. You ever been had your Bible, had it in your lap, you're reading it, and all of a sudden just something just struck you about what you read that just burned in your soul? You know what that is? That's conviction. How many times have I read my Bible and begin reading that and the Holy Ghost says, you ain't doing that. Or you need to be doing this. Or you know old brother so-and-so went through that right there and you had an opportunity to be a blessing. You didn't do that. You know our problem, folks? The problem with most of us in this room is we ain't got no Christian character. When you go and read the very first sermon Jesus ever preached, you know the very first subject he addressed in his disciples? He addressed their character. That's called the Beatitudes. Go read all 10 of them. Every one of them, he's addressing what they should be as a follower of Jesus Christ. And if listen, if we're going to have character of Christ people, what we're going to have, that's what we're going to have to be. So he convicts through the Word of God. Number two, he convicts through the Holy Spirit. He convicts through the Holy Spirit. For instance, I told you a while ago, the Greens were up here singing. Man, I enjoyed that song. But some people will get up here and sing, and they'll sing about a subject. You thought, man, live, that's good. They may sing about reaching people. Listen, how many times have you come during our missions conference or missionaries here, and you're sitting down here, and he shows that DVD, and I'm sitting over there, and I can hear people going, bawling their eyes out, looking at them pictures of little kids, big old bloated stomachs. And you know what? It moves in people's lives. Now, why does a picture of a little old kid that they've never seen in their life, never met, why are they crying over that? What is it doing in their life? You know what it is? It's called conviction. They are convicted. They're responding to the still small voice about the concern for that kid's soul. Thank God that we have folks that are responsive to the Holy Ghost. Some people respond to music. Well, I'm telling you, I got a bunch of CDs in my car. And I'll pop some of them, and I'll get some of that good quartet music going. Hey, listen, I'm not going to let this guy over here outdo me. So you know what I did? One day I drove up to a QT. You ever been there, you're pumping gas, they open all the doors up and crank their music up as loud as it, and I thought, you know what, if they can do it, bless God, I can do it. I drove up to a QT right up here on North Collins at Collins and Division. I pulled up there, I had some quartet music going, I thought, you know what, this would be a great time just to crank this up as loud as I can. And I opened my truck doors and I cranked that sucker up. And I mean, my doors were about to come off. Everybody around me is looking at me like I'd lost my mind. And you know, the thing about it is, why don't you look at the guy listening to that rock? Why don't you look at him that way? What you doing looking at me, man? Hey, this is the kind of music I live by. I don't live by this other stuff. Why don't you go say something to him? Everybody at QT's looking at me like I lost my mind. And that quartet music is just going loud, man. It's going to town. Some get convicted through singing. But the Holy Spirit also God uses to speak through self-examination. He wants us to examine ourselves. Am I the type of Christian that I need to be, and am I growing from day to day and year to year in my Christianity? The Holy Spirit convicts us of that self-examination. And then not only does he convict through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, but may I say, number three, he convicts through other people. Yeah. Yeah, he uses... anybody in here ever gone sat down with somebody, maybe your friend, and they admonished you, and they pointed something out and said, listen, you dead wrong. That's what we do. I thought you was my friend. You know what? We don't have time to... The proverb says something about that kind of friend. That friend's trying to help you. And you know what the Holy Ghost of God's trying to do? He's trying to use your friend to convict you. And the thing about it is they obviously did a good job because all of a sudden that lip came out. Right? Hey, God accomplished his purpose. But sometimes he convicts through other people. Maybe through a friend, through admonition, or maybe through counseling. Maybe through a pastor's message. You see, he doesn't just use the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Listen, he'll use the preacher to get the Word out. I'm just saying that how he convicts through his Word, through the Holy Spirit, and then he'll use other people to do it. You know why? Because he wants us to call our attention to the need of our life. Now, what's the purpose of it? Okay, what's the purpose of conviction? Well, first of all, I want you to picture this. in your mind, I want you to picture a baseball diamond, okay? Now, if you don't know what a baseball diamond is, just kind of picture something like that, all right? Okay, picture a baseball diamond. You got home, first, second, third. Okay, everybody got that in your mind? Because I'm going to give you basically just a little quick three-step of the purpose of conviction. Now, the first base here, the purpose of conviction. By the way, let me say this. Though the word convicted is only used one time in the Bible, there's another word used many times in the Bible that means basically the same thing. It's called the word reprove. Reprove. That means simply this. You know what God's trying to do through conviction and through reproving you? He's trying to cut the light on so you can see what's going on. Because the thing about it is we don't like to see what's going on in our life. We like darkness better than light. What did the Bible say about that? It said something about because our deeds are evil. And we don't like God to be flipping the light on in my life. But you know what He's trying to do? He's trying to get you and me to see what's going on in our life before He has to take action. So He flips the light on in our life. So at first base, if you've got it drawn out on a piece of paper, write the word guilt on first base. Can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I don't like to go to church because that preacher makes me feel guilty. Well, then he must be doing the right thing then. See, the thing about it, it's not the preacher that's making you feel guilty. It's the Holy Ghost of God. Because there's obviously something that's not right in your life or my life, and or either sin or there's a weakness that I need to strengthen, or He's trying to get me in the will of God. At first base is guilt. I heard a story not too long ago about the king of Prussia, one of the old empires. And the king decided to step out of his throne one day and go down to the prison and walk through the prison there and just kind of inspect the prison. As he was walking through the prison, all the prisoners in there recognized it was the king. And they began to holler to the king and said, I'm not guilty, I'm innocent. He gave another, King, I'm innocent. Please let me go, I'm innocent. And he'd go from cell to cell to cell like that. Everybody was innocent in there. And he noticed there was one old boy sitting over in the corner. And he asked the guard, he said, what's wrong with that guy? He said, I don't know. So the king of Prussia walked over and said, sir, he said, what are you in here for? He said, robbery. He said, are you guilty? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, release him. And the guy said, release him. He said, yeah, we don't want this guilty man infecting all these innocent people. Let him go. But you know, that's what we do. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts our heart, you know what we say? Innocent! I'm not guilty! I'm innocent! What you in jail for? Man, we just don't want to face the facts. We don't want to answer what we don't like to answer. And the Holy Ghost of God is continuing in our hearts over and over and over. You see, the purpose of conviction is to turn the light on. Allow you and I to see ourselves in light of the truth. Or to burden our heart for a ministry. Maybe you're here tonight and God's been dealing in your heart. Maybe you're a young person and you've been talking to your parents about the ministry. Hey, parents, don't take that lightly. That's the Spirit of God trying to convict them. Trying to speak to them about ministry. The second purpose of conviction not only is guilt, we're on first base, but you know the last time I found out when you run to first base and there's another hit, you need to move on to second base. Can I just throw this out here? This is not in the notes or anything. Remember at first base is guilt. People come to church, that preacher makes me feel guilty. People who stay on first base and don't go any further get bitter, unforgiving, angry. And you know who they blame? God. And you know what? Then that person right there, you're in bad shape. Because God's trying to convict you, and instead, you're backing away. God's trying to do something in your life, you're backing away. And listen, people who stay on a guilt trip and people who stay at first base and won't move on are the same people that get mad and angry and bitter and unforgiving. You know why? Because God's trying to do something in their life, they won't move. He said, hey, I just got another hit. You need to move to second. No. And there's some that get out there and they say, listen, you know what, this ain't fair. You know what they'll do? They'll get to first base. Man, I didn't think it was going to be like this way in the Christian life. You know what they do? They'll walk off, walk on. They just walk off the field. I ain't putting up with this. Okay? Way bye-bye. See you later. You see, the purpose of conviction is, first of all, first base is guilt. Number two, second base we find repentance. Repentance. You know what God wants us to do? That word repentance just means to turn, right? Turn from something to something. Repentance just means God wants you to make a turn away from what you're doing and headed in a direction that He wants you to head. He's trying to get us to turn, so He has to use conviction for some of us to turn us to obedience and truth. He has to get our attention on the thing that will turn us in the right direction. You see, but He has to operate, first of all, through conviction and guilt. That guilt just is simply me cutting the light on to look at me as I am. It's like looking in the mirror. The second thing is repentance. He wants us to turn. Turn to truth. Turn to a walk with God. Turn to the call of God. Hey, how about turn to addressing the weaknesses that you and I need to strengthen in our lives? Turn in the right direction. You know what that is? That's conviction. He's trying to get me to go the direction I want that He wants me to go. So at first base, we find the purpose of conviction is guilt. At second base, we find repentance. The third base, I want you to write the word power. Power. Do you think God wants to give us power to serve? Power to witness? Power to live the Christian life? I guarantee you He does. We find all through Scripture where God is willing to give us the power that we need to serve and do the work of God. But you know what? You can't cut across the infield. Listen, from home, you don't run things backwards. You got to follow the course. It's first, second, third, and then conviction is accomplished. It's guilt, repentance, power, then conviction accomplished in your life and my life what it was intended to be. Most of us, we get to first base, we quit. Man, I don't like feeling guilty. But it's the process. You see, God wants us to give us power to serve, power to pray, power to give. He wants to give us power for all of these things. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to have to follow the process that's required through conviction. Now, the last thing I want to mention here tonight is then, how do we respond? Okay? Because your response and my response to conviction is going to make all the difference in the world. But you know, God convicts me of a lot of things in my life. And you know, Brother Shacks, I don't like some of them. Matter of fact, I don't even agree with God on some of them. But what matters? What does that matter? Since when is God going to conform to my way of thinking? He's not going to conform to my way of thinking. And I promise you, if God's convicted me about something, it's something I need to address. It's something I need to take a look at. It's something that I need to sit down and do a self-examination of to find out, hey, listen, am I the best that I possibly can be? So our response to conviction means everything. Everything. And by the way, our response to conviction will usually determine the future of our relationship with God and men. How we respond. Probably the greatest person in all the Bible, you can be turning to Psalm 51 if you would please. Psalm chapter 51. You know what made David great? I think one of the characteristics that made David great is David was an incredible responder to conviction. He responded. And when he responded, God did great things. I remember going back about one of the ways that God uses, how one of the ways that God uses to convict people. In David's life, he used the preacher. Nathan went and stuck his finger right in his face. Said, you the man. He used a preacher to do it. But here in Psalm 51, David, the reason he had a great relationship with the Lord is because he was a great responder to conviction. Let me give you just a couple things here, and I'll be done, about how we need to properly respond to conviction. Look, if you would, in Psalm 51 and verse number 3. David says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." You know what he's saying here? Here's the first response to conviction. Everybody ready? Here it is. God's right, I'm wrong. God's right, I'm wrong. Because I promise you, if he's convicting me about something, he's always right. And I need to acknowledge that if God's right and he's convicting me about something, then I must not be right. But you know what we want to do? We want to argue with God. And you know, I've been saved almost 25 years and I have yet to win an argument with God. Not a one. Hadn't won a single argument. And the reason I haven't won a single argument is because he has all the evidence. He has all the facts. And all I have is my opinion. And when opinion comes in contrast with truth, truth's going to win every time. So you know what I need to do? I need to do what David. David says, "Hey, listen, I acknowledge my transgressions. Lord, you know what? I fell into an adulterous relationship with a woman. You're convicting me, and you know what? It was wrong. You're right, Lord." The preacher stuck his finger in my face and said, "Thou art the man. You were right. I'm wrong." Now, folks, let me tell you something. You know what it takes to do that? It takes Christian character to do that. It takes a heart after God and a willingness to respond to that still small voice within us. So our first response to conviction is, God's right and I'm wrong. Number two, the second response to conviction is appeal to the mercy of God. Look, if you would, in Psalm 51, verse 1, David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." Look at verse number 11 of the same chapter. He says, "Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Can I say this to you? You know what David was... Remember I told you he's a great responder to conviction. First thing he did when conviction came, "God, you're right, I'm wrong." And then he said, "Oh God, have mercy. Have mercy on my soul and on my life." He said, "I don't know if God's got enough mercy to go around." Well, according to the Scriptures, his mercy endureth forever. And by the way, just because I tap into mercy today doesn't mean I drain the source for tomorrow or the next day or the next day. If everybody on planet Earth tapped into the mercy of God, he'd still have plenty for tomorrow. He'd still have plenty for the next day. Hey, I'm just telling you, listen, folks, you're just looking at a sorry, good-for-nothing old fella here that I just decided, you know what? I read about David's life. I read about Joseph's life. I read about Peter's life. You know what they all were? Great responders to conviction. I thought, boy, this is what they did? Boy, I wonder if God would do that if I did that. I wonder if I threw myself and said, "Lord, you're right, I'm wrong." And if I just said, "Lord, have mercy," I wonder if he'd have mercy on me. And I found out over 25 years, he's got lots of mercy. He's got lots of mercy. So appeal to the mercy of God. Because you know what? I deserve a whole lot more than what I get. I promise you. Response number three, you'll find in verse number 9. Psalm 51, verse 9. He says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Look at verse 14. "Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Did you notice in those two verses, you know what he's doing? He seeks God's forgiveness now. He says, "You're right, I'm wrong. Lord, have mercy." Then he says, "Forgive me. Forgive me." I love 1 John 1:9. I don't have my New Testament's over there, but even in this Bible here, if you took my Bible, open it up to 1 John 1:9. It's got a big old brown stain spot on that area where that verse is that big. You know why? Because I'm telling you, I just take that verse And I put my hand, a lot of grease on his hand, a lot of oil, and I put that on there. And over the years, I put my hand on that verse. I said, Lord, I didn't put it in here. I'm just claiming it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You think David would keep going back and back and going back and going back to the Lord if he didn't think that mercy endured forever? If he didn't think that forgiveness was there every time he went back? You know what he was doing? He's just responding to conviction. That's all he was doing. God, you're right. I'm wrong. Be merciful unto me. And then he went and fell on his face. God, forgive me. The fourth thing, when we respond to conviction, we're going to say, God, you're right, I'm wrong, and we're going to appeal to His mercy and seek His forgiveness. And listen carefully. Number four, now you've got to allow God to take action in your life. You have to allow God to take action in your life. We're not going to read verse 7 through 14, but I want to give you just a couple of things that David mentions in these verses, what he surrendered and said, Lord, here I am, have mercy, forgive me. And listen to what he says. Purge me. Separate or carry off whatever is impure. He's saying, purge me. Then he says, wash me. Wash me. Make me clean. Then he says, create in me. Produce. Cause to exist in me where it was not right with you last time. I want to be right with you this time. And listen, let me stop there and say this. Folks, we got to realize we're all going to fall. We're all going to slip. We're all going to step in a mud puddle from time to time. But you know something? The thing about it is God can clean that up, sit you back on the right path, and you know what He'll tell you this time, Brother Garner? Now I want you to remember, there's a mud puddle right up here. You're getting close to that mud puddle. Look at it. It's right there on your left. Okay, yeah, there it is, and you go around it this time. You know what it is? He's fathering. He's parenting. That Holy Ghost is parenting. He's directing us. You see, David said, purge me, wash me, create in me. Then he says, renew within me, revive, establish, confirm in me. Then he says, restore unto me. And then lastly, he says, deliver me. Boy, that's what you want to hear. That's what you want to do. When you fall on your knees, you want those last words. Say, Lord God, you're right. I'm wrong. Lord, please be merciful to me. Forgive me. And deliver me. Deliver me. Deliver me. And then the last thing, accept the truth and live by it from now on. Because let me tell you something. If God's going to convict you, and you're going to fall on your knees and plead for the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, and you're going to allow yourself for God to do in your life, then you know what? Then you're going to have to accept the truth and His way of getting about and accomplishing His work in your life. You're going to have to accept it and live by it from now on. And sometimes God don't operate in people's lives the exact same way. And I think everybody in this room can testify to that. Let me just remind you, church, lastly, don't ignore conviction. It's your Heavenly Father trying to parent you. What He's trying to do is He's trying to warn you before He has to take action in your life. Don't ignore it. Ignoring conviction begins a hardening process against God, to where you come to church and there's nothing a preacher can preach that stirs you to the altar for any reason. When conviction leaves you, you're in big trouble with God. Because I'm going to tell you, my daddy wasn't a man of second chance. Thank God we got a God of second and third and fourth chances. And you better thank God, and I better thank God. I love the word long-suffering, don't you? Oh, He's long-suffering to usward. But my daddy didn't read the Bible. He didn't know what that word long-suffering was. But I'm telling you, there were plenty of times in my life he said, listen, here's the warning. You do it again, I'm going to take action. And God tonight is trying to convict us in some area, some shape, some form, some fashion in your life tonight. Don't ignore it. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight and God's dealt with you in some shape, form, or fashion. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's about sin in the personal life. Maybe it's about a weakness to strengthen in your life. Maybe it's about the will of God for your life. If God has spoken to you about anything, if He's convicted you, hey, listen, folks, conviction's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. If He's convicted you, don't just sit there. Answer it tonight. And if He's not convicting you about anything, listen, while I was preaching this sermon tonight, you know what He's doing? He's convicting me while I was preaching. And reminding me while I was preaching about things in my life that are weaknesses. You know what? I need to get them right. The Holy Ghost of God is moving and wants to move in your life and my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many are here tonight and you say, Brother Todd, no, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've been saved. I've been born into the family of God. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. Why don't you slip your hand up real high as a testimony for it. Say, I know for sure I've been saved. God bless you. All right, you can put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I've never even thought about it. But there's something happening in my heart right now. I don't know what it is. I'm here to tell you as a preacher of the gospel, that's the Spirit of God going through the conviction process, trying to get you saved, trying to get you to come to Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home, but boy, I sure want to go. I cannot say 100% sure that I've accepted the Lord. I don't remember a time where someone's even showed me from the Bible. I don't remember any of that. Well, let me suggest that you come tonight. We'll have one of our men, if you're a man, if you're a lady, we'll have one of our ladies make sure that you understand how to be saved. If you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, pray for me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. Would you pray for me? Don't know for sure I've been born again. Slip your hand up. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up high. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip up. Anybody like that? Say, Preacher, pray for me. Don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I need to know. I need to know. It's bothering me. Anybody like that? All right. God bless you. Put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight and there's some area of your life. You know just as well as I'm sitting here, the voice of God is speaking to you. And He's convicting you about some area of your life. Maybe it's a weakness. Maybe it's a sin in your life. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe whatever it is. Maybe it's just surrendering to preach if you're a young man. Maybe it's a young lady surrendering to do whatever God has in your life. And you say, Brother Todd, pray for me. There's conviction going on in my heart right now, and I need prayer. Regardless of whatever area of your life it may be, would you say, Brother Todd, pray for me. Conviction's in my heart right now. Why don't you slip your hand way up high. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. Slip it up high. Slip it up high. Slip it up high. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Maybe it's some here tonight. They would say, Brother Todd, I'm at a point to where I can't remember the last time that still small voice that I've recognized in my heart. I can't remember the last time that that still small voice spoke and I responded, and I need prayer. You say, I may not be feeling the conviction right now, but I need prayer. Something needs to happen in my life. I need to get some direction from God. And you're like that tonight. Listen, be honest. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Say, Brother Todd, pray for me. Slip your hand up high. You say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. God bless you. God bless you. Now, Father, you've seen the hands tonight. There should not be an empty pew tonight. Lord, we as the people of God, if we don't start responding to the conviction of our heart, our life is going to be shipwrecked. Our country is going to become shipwrecked. The churches of America are not going to have the strength that we're going to need, Lord, to stand and wrestle and withstand the devil. It's got to begin in our hearts. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're speaking to hearts tonight. Maybe there's some, Lord, maybe it's sin or a certain area of their life, and it's sin in their life, and they need to come get that right. May they come tonight. Maybe it's some that have a weak area of their Christian life. Maybe it's their witness. Maybe it's their devotion time. Maybe it's a walk with God or a time of prayer. They need to come and strengthen that tonight. And you're convicting. Maybe it's the will of God for their life. Maybe you're calling somebody to do something special in the ministry. May they come and respond tonight, I pray. Move, Holy Spirit of God, and we'll thank you for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.